Most of you know that 2 weeks from today is going to be something that we're calling Serving Sunday, and we are encouraging every single person who's a part of our church family to go out and serve the needs of someone in their circle of influence. I want to speak to you this morning about why. I want to speak to you from Paul's words in Galatians chapter 1. We are planning this special day in 2 weeks in order to engage our entire church family in ministry, from the very youngest to the very oldest in our church family. I want to encourage you to pray about someone to show care for and care to on that day. We are going to have breakfast here in the fellowship hall from 9 to 10:30, so we're going to come together. Not everybody at 9 o'clock, not everybody at 10 o'clock, but you can come when it's convenient for you during that time. And Brad and Angie Walter and our caravan kids and some other couples are planning a buffet-type breakfast, and encourage you to come downstairs and be together and have breakfast together, and then invite you to come up to the sanctuary and pray. And pray especially that God would help you to be the hands and feet of Jesus to someone that day that he lays on your heart, and then go out to serve. And whether that would be a person that you work with, or someone who is a neighbor that you don't talk to very often, or maybe you do, and you believe that God would have you go and show care to them that day, or maybe a family member that you don't spend a lot of time with that could use encouragement, or maybe someone that doesn't come to church, and you would like to go that day and spend time with them, to love them, to encourage them, and to show them that somebody cares about them. Pray that God would lay on your heart someone to go to and see that day. I also have, if you would like maybe a suggestion of someone to see, I have a list of about 40 people who are part of our broader church family, most of who are not able to come to church. Many of them are in nursing homes, some are in their own homes or live with someone else, and they're not able to come to church. And especially that day, if you would like to connect with some of those needs, I have that list. Also, Rachel does. You could come and see either one of us, and we can give you some suggestions. Maybe you might know the person, or maybe you'd be willing to go and sit with someone and read them the Bible, the Christmas story, or maybe sing a Christmas song with them, maybe take them some kind of a treat. Or if you have time and you can prepare a meal and invite someone over, or take them out to dinner. The question is, everybody will do it different. It's not scripted, but it's an opportunity to serve. And I want to call our church family to be a serving Sunday and a time to connect with other people. So if you have any questions or thoughts about that, ask me about that, and I can help you to connect with that. We are called to serve. Servanthood is a bedrock of what it means to be a Christian and to have the Christian faith. To serve is so very important. And so I want to call our church, especially 2 weeks from today on December the 11th, to have an attitude of serving others and show that, express that as we worship God. You know, we worship God in a lot of ways. We worship God when we come together and we sing and we participate in a service together. We also worship God when we're alone and our hearts and our attitudes are right before Him and responsive to Him. We serve God when we're serving other people, as Jesus talked about a cup of cold water. And if you do, if you serve other people, then truly you are serving Christ. And so I want to encourage you to make that a great Sunday for our church family of serving other people. This morning I want to preach about serving. Galatians chapter 6. I want to invite you to turn to that book in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read quite a few scriptures about the church and about the call to serve. We're going to start with Galatians chapter 6. Would you stand with me as we read together? Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instructions in the Word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Thank you. You may be seated. The first thing I notice about this text is the first word of the text is brothers. It begins with the word brothers. That tells me that whoever wrote this, and of course we know who wrote this, was writing this to us. He's writing it to the church. He's writing it to the body of Christ. In fact, this letter, the book of Galatians, was written to the church at Galatia by a man named Paul. We call him the Apostle Paul. At one time, his name was Saul, and he persecuted the Christians, and he was responsible for their arrest in Jerusalem until God got a hold of his heart and his life and turned him around, and then he became a passionate missionary for Jesus. Later on, after he planted churches all across Asia, he sent letters back to them, to those churches, to help them in their early faith. And the book of Galatians is one of those books that the Apostle Paul wrote a letter back to the people that he had once visited to encourage them to live out the Christian faith. And so the book of Galatians is Paul's encouragement letter to the early church to help them. In fact, Paul wrote a lot of letters, and a lot of them are in the New Testament. Basically, the second half of the New Testament are the letters of Paul, for the most part, where Paul is writing to the church. And so that part of the Bible, when you read it, what should come to your mind is God speaking to the church. God is speaking to us. For anyone who considers himself a Christian, a believer, a follower of Jesus, it is for us. These words that I read today in the book of Galatians and much of this part of the New Testament is to remind the church about what's important to God, to help us to make sure that our Christianity is in line with what Jesus wants and the attitude that he wants us to live with. And so these words were written by a man named Paul to the early church. He wrote these words, I think I mentioned, about 20 years or so after the day of Pentecost and the church began. He wrote many things about the church. In fact, one of the themes that Paul writes about, and we could read probably 40 different verses that he writes about, is about the importance of the church, the body of Christ. He uses several terms. When we think of the word church, I just naturally think of a place. When I say, am I going to church, I'm usually thinking, am I coming to this building and am I coming together with people in the sanctuary or in the fellowship hall or somewhere else, am I coming to church? But we know that going to church is not a place. Church is not a place. Church is the body of believers. It is the Christian people who have asked Jesus into their hearts. And so when we talk about going to church, that's really not probably a very good theological term. The question is, we are the church. Are we going to be the church is the question. Well, Paul writes a lot about being the church and how special and precious the church is. We're going to read several scriptures this morning, but look at the first one with me. It says, now you are the body of Christ and each of you is a part of it. You see, Paul is writing about the body, the group. Altogether, we are the body of Christ, but individually, we are the church. We're part of it. You're part of it today if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, Christ makes you a part of the church. Christ says that you're important to the church. Christ says that your faith is important to the body. And whether or not you're a new Christian or you've been a Christian a long time, whether you're a strong Christian or you're struggling today with your faith, I want you to know that Jesus says you're a part of the church. and He cares deeply about you. Jesus loves the church, and He gave Himself up for it, to wash it, to cleanse it, to make it holy. Jesus loves the church. He cares about His body. He takes care of it. There's something about our common faith in Jesus that brings us together into a unity, into a body that is so important to the heart of God and to the New Testament. There are many scriptures that talk about what it means that we are the church and why the church is important. I want to emphasize today how important the church is, the body of Christ is. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, and hear what Paul says about the church. But speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Again, there's the unity of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. He loves the church. We're held together by Jesus, and every single person is a part of it. I said a minute ago, if you're a believer, you're a part of the church. Also, the truth is, God has a place for you in the church, a place to serve, a place to shine, a place to let your faith be a light. Jesus said that we're to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Every Christian, every believer, God wants your light to shine for Him. The truth is, God loves the church because He loves people. He loves you, and He has a role for you in the church and the body of Christ. I've been a pastor for 28 years, and something that I love is when I see within people a love for the church, the body of Christ, to love Christians everywhere, to love our brothers and our sisters. On the other side, I have to say that one of the things that bothers me the most is Christians that don't love the church, Christians that grumble about the church, Christians who criticize the church, Christians who have their opinion about other people in the church, and they spend most of their lives, or a good part of their lives, having no light for Jesus because they're critical of the church. They have all their opinions about the church. And when they have their opinions, it gives them the right. It gives them really the right to hold other people off from them and not be what God calls them to be in the church. A critical spirit toward other people is very much against the heart of God, a critical spirit. God wants you to love the church. He wants you to value the church. Not because the church is perfect. Goodness, you know that it's not. I know that it's not. Jesus knew that it wasn't. Jesus knows what our stresses and our problems and our pressures is. But He loved the church. And He said, you should love the church too. Look at all the words in there, speaking the truth in love. We will in all things grow up. Being a part of the body of Christ is a maturing process. It's a journey that we need to be on. We need to understand that we're important to Jesus. We're important to each other. And there's growth in our hearts and our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and again, there's a lot of them, but chapter 12 again talks about the church. But God has combine the members of the body. A reminder that it's Jesus who builds the church. It's God who puts the church together so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts would have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part rejoices, every part rejoices with it. Over and over again, the scriptures about the church are to tell us how special it is, how important it is. And your attitude toward the church is very important. Your attitude toward other Christians, your attitude toward people that you're close to, you're not close to, people who attend the same local church as you, people that go to the church down the street. Your attitude toward the church is important, and your attitude will be an influence in the people around you. We should love the church. You probably know that I don't criticize other churches. I may have opinions like everybody else does, and I might do it different than they do, but I don't believe God called me to go out there and evaluate other churches or other Christians. My job is to live how God calls me to live and give myself to do and be the things that God called me to do and be. In fact, Paul talks about examining yourself. Each one should test his own actions, verse 4 says. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. You know, God wants us to look inside. It is so easy to take shots at other people. It is so easy to have a critical spirit. It is so easy to see the faults of other people and just kind of hold on to that, like, you know, as long as other people aren't perfect, then I don't have to change anything inside of me. The truth is, probably one of the things that annoys me the most is Christians who take shots at the church. That's not what God wants for the church. God wants you to love the church. He wants us to love people. God wants us to have a heart and an attitude of humility and love for other people. Coming back to Galatians chapter 6, Paul gives us some very practical advice about our attitude in the church. Number one is our attitude toward someone who sins. How do we handle it when somebody in the church does wrong? Somebody fails, somebody sins, somebody messes up, somebody falls. What's our attitude toward them? Are we quick to judge? Are we quick to put up our hands and back away? Are we quick to pronounce our opinion? Well, this is what Paul says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. The first thing Paul says is be careful. Be careful about your attitude when somebody messes up. Be careful about the attitude you have toward them. Be careful about that sense of superiority. Be careful about that attitude of how you treat them. Paul says, first of all, check yourself. Check yourself. When you notice somebody that's messed up, the first thing you ought to do is do a good self-checkup. Am I doing what God wants me to? Am I what God wants me to? Jesus talked about it. He said about finding fault, about looking and judging other people. What did Jesus say? First, look at the mote in your own eye before you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, your neighbor's eye. It is so easy to see the faults of other people. I mean, that's just the vision we got. Jesus said it. Paul said it. The reality is, strong Christians look within instead of looking at the faults of other people. Check yourself. He also tells us to be gentle. Be gentle. Be careful in gentleness. And it says, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. You know, going out and trying to fix other people is really a big task. Going out and fixing other people is really not to be done lightly. Taking on other people's faults requires a lot of depth and a lot of prayer and a lot of personal care and personal self-examination. That's what I get from these words that Paul gives us. You know, if you see somebody in a fault, be careful. First of all, look within. Be gentle. Be patient. You know, when people are hurting and people mess up, sometimes we just want to demand that they change everything right away and everything gets fixed in their lives and they realize what they've done and everything is taken care of, or we can't allow for a process of restoration and healing. But you know, I'm reminded of how patient God is with us. I'm reminded of God's mercy. I'm reminded of how God looks at us and looks at our sins when he forgives them as far as the east is from the west. And I realize how patient God is. And God tells us to be patient with one another. Also, Paul tells us to seek restoration. Restore him gently. You know, God calls us to always have an attitude to bring restoration for a brother in Christ. Whenever somebody's messed up, whether they've hurt us or hurt somebody else, God calls us to have an attitude to draw them back, to draw them back to his truth. It should always be our heart to seek restoration. Reminds us of how important that is. And also to be aware of the temptation that comes when we're around people that mess up. Be aware of the temptation, but watch yourself, the end of verse 1 says, or you may also be tempted. What good advice Paul gives us. When somebody messes up in your life, review this and think about what God wants your attitude to be when you see somebody who has fallen, has messed up. Paul also talks about humility and how important humility should describe our attitude and our response to those that sin. Whenever somebody else does wrong or somebody's messed up, our attitude should be humbled who we are and where we're at. And We should have a humble spirit. God calls every Christian to a humble heart in every situation. Humility is one of those things that should be a part of who you are, who I am all the time. It shouldn't just be on our best day, but we should live with a heart that's humbled before God. Philippians chapter 2 says, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Think of that. Consider others better than yourselves. Again, this is God's word. This is how God wants us to look at other people. Better than ourselves. What does it mean that I look at my brother, my sister is better than me? That's how we're to look at each other. Always with an attitude and a spirit that lifts them up and encourages them in the faith. Again, Paul's writing to the church here. He's writing to me and you in our situations. Galatians 6 also reminds us our role to carry one another's burdens. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry one another's burdens, and you will fulfill the law of Christ. When you carry the load for other people, when you have that attitude and that heart of caring and reaching out to other people, you are fulfilling the law of Jesus, the law of love, the law of that Jesus wants us to have in other people's life. Our role is to help. Our role is to encourage. Our role is to lift one another up. I was saying to someone a few weeks ago about a verse that's been on my mind, and I think I'm working on a sermon on it, but I'm not there yet. But it says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. You know, that's the difference between genuine discipleship and, you know, just going halfway about being a Christian. You know? You can know a lot of things up here. And a lot of those things just puffs you up. You know, it just may make you feel a little bigger in your own eyes. Make you feel like you got it all together and, you know, you don't need to really listen to the Holy Spirit. That's what knowledge does. There are people that they can out-quote me in the Bible, I can promise you that. There are people a lot better students than I am. They memorize the scripture and they can proof text all over the place. What I feel sometimes and I see, they don't have a love on the inside. They're selfish, demanding, withdrawn. It's about me. I tell you, the gospel, Christianity, is about giving. It's about loving. It's about serving. Jesus said, if you want to have it all, give it all away. If you want to be filled, empty yourself. Philippians chapter 2 talks about how he emptied himself. That's what Christianity is. It's not about coming to this building and coming in here and being fed. No. It's about going out into a world that needs God's love and loving people and God with all your heart. We can all come together until we're blue in the face, but not have a heart of love. I don't want that kind of Christianity. I don't want to get so used to how I do it that I would not have a love and eyesight for people out there. It's got to be some of both. We've got to have both. We do need to be together. We do need to publicly worship, and that's important. In fact, you can have an attitude about that that's not healthy. It can puff up instead of build up. But it's what you do when you go out there that demonstrates whether or not this gospel is real in your heart or not. Whether Jesus really makes a difference in your heart and your life. Paul calls us to encourage, to lift one another up. And finally, verse 9 and 10 says, let us not be weary in doing good, For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Do good to all people. You know, we all know that. We know we're supposed to do good. We're do-gooders, you know. Sometimes Christians are called do-gooders. You know, Paul says it twice here. Let us not become weary in doing good. Sometimes we can. We just get weary, period. And he says it again. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. You know, God wants us to see the world and people around us, Christian and non-Christian, and purposely, consciously do good to them as much as we can. As much opportunity as we can. Paul doesn't say, you know, do good more than you possibly can. He said, as you have opportunity, do good. As you have opportunity. As God gives you opportunity, do good. Twice Paul says that. Let us not become weary in doing good. And as we have opportunity, do good to all people. And then this last phrase here, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Paul talks about how important it is that we do good and we see the needs of people. But then he says, oh, one more thing, especially in the church. Especially to others that are on the journey too. Have a special place in your heart and your mind for the body of Christ. Have a special place in your theology to love the church. The family of believers, the household of faith. That's what serving Sunday is about. That's my heart. This church is such a giving church. I feel that so many ways. And I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to seek God's Spirit and say, God, how can I see the needs of more people around me? How can I respond? How can I be available? And I hope that 2 weeks from today, there will be 200 or 250 people out there in this community who will be blessed by people who want to be the hands and feet of Jesus.